Our scripture for today is from Matthew chapter 21. We have been working through the Gospel of Matthew during the season of Lent, and so we are in the last two Sundays of that. Today we're looking at the four chapters, 21 through 25, actually 24, yeah, 21 through 24. But I am focusing in on chapter 21, which fits perfectly for today, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So the passage is Matthew 21, beginning in verse 1. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you about this, say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Zechariah. If you look back in Zechariah, I believe it's chapter 19, verse 19, or maybe 9:9, but that's at the end of the Old Testament, the second to last book in the Old Testament. But you'll see these words that Matthew is sharing, a prophecy from Zechariah. So these things took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Zechariah, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and put cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Hosanna is a word that means save us. So they were calling out to Jesus to save them, to be their king of the line of David. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of God's word today. This is the beginning of Holy Week, and we mark that with Jesus entering into Jerusalem for the final time. As we have looked through Matthew, we have seen Jesus' ministry mainly in the Galilee area, but now he is entering into the city where on Friday we'll remember him giving up his life for us. And each year on Palm Sunday, we remember this scene of jubilation as people are welcoming Jesus and they are heralding Jesus as a king. And they're doing all these things to honor Jesus with the palm branches and the laying down the palms and shouting Hosanna. And in all of these things, we celebrate, and normally we have the children walking up and down the aisles and singing, and it is jubilation. And one of the things that we recognize in Holy Week is how quickly things can change. And so there's such a big difference in the feeling of what was happening on Palm Sunday and what happened at the cross a short time later. And as we have seen in recent weeks, things can change quickly. Many people have said, and all of us have thought in one way or another, "I never thought something like this would happen." People who have lived a long time have said, I've never experienced anything like this. And we know that this is something completely different. The closest thing was in 1918, I believe, and not many of us remember that. So things can change quickly. But at the same time, in the gospel today, we also remember that the change is not really as quick as we might think. It may seem like it's just 4 days and the change happening, but as we work through Matthew, we've seen that that division and the seeds of what happened in Holy Week were planted from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. We've highlighted over the last several weeks how there was a division in how people were responding to Jesus and Jesus' message. We've seen that time and time again. We've seen people come to Jesus in faith and learn and to be healed in various ways. And we've also seen religious leaders who rejected everything that he was saying and everything that he was doing. We even see those religious leaders, when Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath, they began plotting on how they were going to kill Jesus. So that division, the seeds of this division were planted from the very beginning. You see it in the Gospel of Matthew even before Jesus is an adult. If you look back at chapter 4 of Matthew, after Jesus is born, you have some religious persons from the east, the wise men, travel a great distance to pay homage to the newborn king. And at the same time, we see King Herod, the king of the Jews, seeking to kill the baby that is born in Jerusalem. And so that division has been present from the very beginning. Our world has changed a lot in the last several weeks, and our lives have changed a lot, but those seeds had also been planted before we realized it. There was a slow spread that was happening that we could not see. Some of the medical doctors and scientists are questioning when it began in our country. They can name the first case that was diagnosed, but many believe that the spread had begun quietly, perhaps even months before. As we face this new time together, as we face the challenges, as we see suffering and lives lost, especially in some of the bigger places like New York City, and the scale of that loss is something that we did not think we would see. But even in the midst of this difficult situation, where we gather together for worship in this way, and I want to say one thing about that, the number of people who have told me that they have never been apart from church this long. Now, I do believe we are together today, that we are joined together by God's Holy Spirit. Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered, and I know that you are gathered where you are, and we are gathered here, and we are united not just with members of our church, but all churches everywhere. But this is a very different experience. But the message of Easter and resurrection is that new seeds are already being planted that will produce something new in the future. And some of those things that are being planted at now, we can't know what they will turn into. Just as on Friday, we will remember Jesus going into the tomb. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is recorded as saying that if a grain of wheat goes into the earth and dies, it becomes more than a single grain. And John tells us that Jesus was talking about his own death. And so as we move toward Good Friday, we remember that that sacrifice and Jesus going into the tomb was a seed that gave hope for millions and billions from that time on and gives us hope for new life today. There is a story, if you have been here at Wesley over the years, you may have heard this one before, about an old farmer. I like telling this one because it speaks to how God works in the world and those seeds that can be planted that can bear fruit that we would not know about. About a farmer who used an old horse to plow his fields, and one day the horse escaped and ran off and ran into the hills and disappeared, and the farmer's neighbors sympathized with the farmer, saying, "What bad luck, we're sorry for you." And the farmer replied by saying, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" A few days later, the horse returned, and with him came a whole herd of wild horses with him. And the neighbors gathered and said, "Congratulations on your good luck." And the farmer said, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" Then one of the farmer's sons was attempting to tame one of the new horses and was thrown from the horse and broke his leg. And the neighbor said, "Oh, what bad luck." And the farmer said, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" A few days later, the army marched through town, and they drafted all of the young men to go off to war. And the farmer's son could not be drafted because of his broken leg. And his neighbor said, "Well, good luck, you have received." And the farmer said, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" The situation that we are in is a bad situation. There are people who are suffering, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray for everyone, everywhere. It is a bad situation. But in the midst of that, I believe that God is planting seeds today. And I'm going to talk about what those seeds might be. And as we think about it, we remember what Jesus said, that his going to the cross and going to the grave would be like a grain of wheat going into the earth and dying, but from that producing far more new life. I'm sure that many of you can think about seeds that might be being planted in your life right now. I see some of those seeds being planted, and one of those seeds I think can be deeper faith. When we have the things that we rely on shaken away from us, it gives us new opportunity to grow the roots of our faith deeper and stronger. I know that there are persons whose experience of prayer right now is different than it was 2 months ago. The feeling of prayer, the experience of prayer might be different for you. There are persons who were not praying a couple of months ago who have begun praying. And I want to encourage all of us to pray more and more. When we wake up, when we go to bed, and throughout the day, to seek to commune with God, to share with God our needs and the needs of those around us, and to ask for God's wisdom and strength. So I think that there are people who are planting seeds that will bear fruit of a deeper faith as we go forward and on the other side of this thing that we're going through. The other seed that I think is being planted, if we nurture it, just as we need to intentionally nurture the seed of our faith, I think there are seeds of deeper relationships being planted. And that is ironic, and we are struggling with relationships. And I know there are people, and all of us to some extent, are not seeing as many people. Perhaps we're talking to people more on the phone or online. As I mentioned earlier, we have Sunday school classes that are meeting online currently and small groups. And some of those relationships will grow deeper as a result of all of this. If you are living in a home with family, your relationship is being affected by this new situation. There are the jokes going around about how this time is great for introverts. That does not work for all of us, because I'm used to being here at the church, and my office is a good ways down from many of the other offices, so I'm around people, yes, but if I want to be in my office all by myself, I can do that. Now I'm spending much more time at home and with a child like many of you who's not going to school, and a spouse who is there. Our relationships within the home are changing. Some of that is a challenge and a difficulty, but it's also an opportunity, a seed. And I pray that all of us will nurture that, deeper relationships within our homes, by sharing how we're feeling with people on the phone, by checking on people more frequently, by knowing that we're all in this boat together. As we have looked at and experienced so much division in our society over the years, there's a sense in which an awareness is increasing that we're all in the same boat. Perhaps this is a seed that God is planting and will nurture through this experience that will bring about more love and grace that we live out in our life together. So yes, this is a challenging time, and the situation is a bad situation. And we pray for those who are suffering, not just physically, but folks who are suffering mentally, emotionally, financially in their homes. But once again, in the midst of that, I think there are some wonderful seeds that God may be planting amongst us. My prayer is that just as on Easter we are able to celebrate a new life that makes possible new life for all of us, new life for all of us and for all of our communities, and makes possible a new life for our entire world, for all who would receive it. In the same way, I pray that we would allow God to work in the midst of this to bring new life into our life. And I pray that on the other side of this, I and you and our families and our churches and communities could be even stronger and even more united. It sounds very idealistic, but then again, if anyone had said, as Jesus did, that after 3 days he would rise, people would have thought that was pretty idealistic too. Let us continue this journey of Holy Week this week, knowing that God is with us, God is planting seeds, and God is bringing hope into the world. Let's gather together on Good Friday to read the scripture and the story once again. And let us go through this week with a remarkable and a God-given hope in the midst of this situation. And we'll gather together next week to celebrate God's steadfast love, presence, and power. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the blessings in the midst of the challenges. We thank you that you have promised to never leave us or forsake us. Help us to be the body of Christ and the presence of Christ to one another. Help us to be the church. Oh God, what a blessing it is to join together today, empowered and connected by your Holy Spirit. For that, God, we give you thanks. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.